It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 252-247-7282, and let's talk legal.
Well, let's do that. Let's begin the begin. Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning, Wes. Good morning, Mike.
How are you, gentlemen?
We are good. Hope you are.
I'm terrific. Yeah, feeling good. Feeling good. Seeing light at the end of the tunnel, hopefully.
We do hope so. Absolutely. Absolutely. Would be nice to get back to normal, even if it's a new normal. We'll take any normal we can get now.
We think it'll probably be a new normal, but some things will not change. Just getting your affairs in order. So that's what we talk about here each week. So let's continue the conversation.
We want to talk today a little bit about insurance claims. We did have at the law firm, Wes has handled most of them along with the assistance of Sam Morris here at Harvell & Collins with regard to, you know, damages that occurred, you know, during Florence. And of course, you know, most folks try to settle these claims with their insurance company directly, but there are certainly those times where either the folks are not satisfied with the amounts that are being offered relative to the repairs that are needed on the damage that occurred, even to personal property, sometimes personal property meaning, you know, furniture and interiors and things of that nature. We had a lot of that with Florence because a lot of roofs, you know, were damaged, and that then let water in that damaged the interiors. But additionally, in addition to they're not paying the amount of monies that the client feels are sufficient, there's just the denial from the get-go. We also see that from time to time. So let's kind of dissect this a little bit and talk about some of those files, Wes. And our listeners, of course, would, you know, need to know some legal tidbits with regard to that. One of them is that they have 3 years, correct? 3 years that's the statute of limitations.
Right. It's a 3-year statute of limitations if you're not happy with your insurance issue. This may be Florence. It could be Dorian. It could be Florence and then part of Dorian. It could be a situation where the insurance company is maybe trying to use a situation where we had two storms against you. I mean, we've seen a lot of that. But the bottom line is with regard to the timing issue is that you have 3 years in order to take some type of action. What I mean by action is to file a lawsuit relative to the claim. So what are we coming up on? Maybe 2 years.
Two years for Florence.
Yeah. So we've got a little bit of time. But that time frame is very important. And, you know, the way people think about insurance claims is, you know, they think that, all right, whatever the adjuster says, I might be able to negotiate with them some. You know, they're holding all the money. So as long as it's kind of close or maybe in the ballpark, then that's just all those are the rights I have. That's all I can get. And that's really not the case. I would say in most adjusted insurance claims through Florence or Dorian, you know, most of them get worked out. They get paid and a reasonable amount gets paid. But man, we have seen a lot of cases, Mike, where there is a huge discrepancy in what was paid or what's being offered. And these are cases that have spun off into our office because the insurance company just is not treating the insured fairly. We've seen a lot of things that are, probably underhanded a little bit, you know, taking advantage, shady. And, you know, been able to take advantage of those things and get folks, you know, significantly more as it relates to their claim. But I think that the message that people need to have from the outset on this topic is don't think that just because the insurance company says this is what we'll pay, that's all they're required to pay. Because obviously, you know, in the world in which we live, insurance companies, they have a lot of control. That's just the way it is. You can talk with, you know, anybody who deals with attorneys who deal with insurance companies on the other side of those situations. And all of them will tell you the same thing, whether it's a personal injury attorney, workers' comp, you know, whatever it may be. You know, they charge those premiums and they deny a lot of claims. Or they try to, obviously, from a business perspective, sure, pay as little as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. So, you know, folks need to realize that you have rights over and above what the adjuster or what the carrier, the insurance company may offer to pay on the particular claim. It's also very important that you provide the information that is necessary in order to support your claim. Okay. Mm-hmm. For example, let's say that the insurance company sends out the adjuster. They determine that, you know, 10% of the roof is damaged, so they'll offer 10%. Well, you know, if you got your own general contractor to come out and look at it and provide a statement about it and determine that the entire roof system was destroyed and has to come off, okay, and then there is the damage underneath that that has to be taken care of, all of a sudden that claim goes from 10% to 100% plus, mm-hmm, because you've been able to prove that the damage was much more than what this original adjuster said. You know, I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but other things we saw, there was such a need for adjusters right after the storm. We had adjusters coming in from all over the country.
Yep.
And they, a lot of them had a full book of cases they had to deal with. And so they took a, you know, kind of a quick look-see, mm-hmm, on each particular claim and really didn't dig into it as much as they should have. So, you know, if you're in a situation where you thought your insurance claim was finished and they paid you, but you just feel like you were significantly shorted, then just know that your claim is probably not over. If you wanted to reopen it and you wanted them to look at it further, you're entitled to what you're entitled to under the terms of your policy. So if you're able to prove, you know, what your damages were and what's covered under the policy, even over and above what they say, you know, was the damage, within that 3-year period of time, you would be able to do that. Now, don't wait to the last second, obviously.
Yeah. But if you receive the settlement, cashed it, you can still seek legal advice.
Depending on the circumstances. I mean, you could have a situation where there was a release that was provided, that there was, you know, payment in full. We have to look at the circumstances. What I'm seeing is insurance companies aren't resolving claims with finality in the same manner.
Yeah.
Okay. But in many cases, in most cases, I would say, the vast majority of cases, that folks who think that they're paid in full on their claim, but they just don't feel like it really covered everything, mm-hmm, they really can reopen those claims and ask them to be looked at more closely, and there may be some more money on the table for them under the policy.
And you have case-by-case
basis.
You have 3 years in which to do this. Is that initiating the lawsuit, or does it have to be settled within 3 years?
It's 3 years initiating the lawsuit, and sometimes, you know, let's say that I have a client that comes in. They settled their case with their insurance claim within 3 or 4 months, you know, mm-hmm, of the storm. And they just feel like they were shorted. They just feel like that I had to dig into my pocket to get this finished. I had to put a Band-Aid on this situation on my roof. You know, this is all they fixed on the roof, but I've still got leaks over here. They don't care. You know, whatever the situation may be. Well, you know, if they're in, you know, three or four months after the accident, they get this, they get what they thought was their final check. And then now they're coming in to see me now. I'm not going to be able to resolve their claim and get them more money, for example, within a day or two. It's probably going to take 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's going to take, you know, looking at the particular circumstances, probably getting a general contractor out to the property, maybe involving a public adjuster to help us put together the information that we need to complete the claim. But if we're able to show that, you know, $100,000 was paid and $300,000 should have been paid, mm-hmm, that's going to take some time, 6 months or so, six months, in order to work that up and then reopen that claim. And then obviously we're able to make a determination as to whether we can resolve it, you know, or not. So you see, you don't want to wait right until the last second. because the lawsuits that you would have to file, you know, would be, you know, a breach lawsuit under the terms of the policy in the event that the insurance company denied the claim in bad faith. Then there could be an unfair and deceptive trade practices type claim. But all of these claims that you would bring under the lawsuit are within that 3-year period of time. There's also other options for resolving the claim other than just straight negotiation. In most policies, really all policies, you have the right to request for appraisal. So basically, we go through an appraisal process where the insurance company contends this is how much should have been paid. We contend this is how much should have been paid. And that process goes before a panel for that panel to make that determination. But you see, that process as well needs to happen well in advance of that 3-year period of time. Because in the event, let's say the appraisers come back and say, well, you were shorted $200,000 and that's our determination, that's not necessarily binding on the insurance company. They can dispute that, and that might be a bad faith denial at that point in time. Then that would potentially support an unfair and deceptive trade practices claim, which is treble damages, three times your damages plus attorney's fees. So we have to have some time in order to, you know, work these claims up. But we're dealing with, I know, a lot of them right now at Harvell and Collins. We've resolved a heck of a lot of these cases. We've really had a good number of cases where the clients have come in and the shortfalls on the payment to the client has been so obvious that we've been able to work it up pretty quickly, kind of finish some aspects of the claim. For example, let's say the personal injury or the personal property part of the claim really wasn't paid very much. Well, that's because the list of personal property that was lost wasn't really complete. All right. Well, the insurance company is not going to go out and make a determination as to what you lost as far as your personal property goes. You have to do that.
You know what's in your house.
That would be something that you could do in order to, you know, as long as you can document it and show what you actually lost, you know, to increase the claim. So, again, we've had a lot of claims that we've been able to see some pretty obvious problems right from the outset and resolve within a short period of time without it being a big
strung
production.
Out.
Yeah.
But it could get strung out.
It could get strung out. So many people think, well, you know, they paid me what they paid me and I did the best I could with it and I thought it was over.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, a month later we get them $75,000 more. Whoa, whoa.
Yeah. Ain't over till it's over.
I thought it was over. It's not over.
And you're still in that 3-year window. Now's the time. And plus, we're coming up on another hurricane season too.
Right.
So this is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yep.
Let's hold our thought here and let's take a break here. If we can take your calls on this. I'm sure there's people listening that are in that situation. Call us at 252-247-7282. Or if you missed this opportunity now for free legal advice, you can still call the Harvell and Collins, firm at 252-726-9050 after the show or go online to harvellandcollins.com. We're going to take a short break here and return with this conversation after these brief messages. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal, and we're talking about the insurance adjustments and what's still available to you if you were victim to damage at your home with Dorian or Florence. You're still in that window of opportunity, even if you have reached a settlement with your insurance company.
Right.
That if you didn't get enough, there's still a chance to claw back some of that money for yourself.
Absolutely. You know, go look at all aspects of the claim. Look at the property loss itself. Look at as far as the dwelling itself. You know, obviously look at the tangible personal property, you know, loss. Look at the loss of use aspect of it, Obviously, that's an important part as well. You know, if we're talking about a beach property, rental property, that can be huge. When we're talking about the loss of use, loss of rental income, mm-hmm. you would have to document that. I mean, obviously, I was just yesterday dealing with a case where I was meeting with a realtor to put together an affidavit to have the realtor go out and look at the particular property that's still not adjusted completely yet. And a big part of that claim is lost rental income, you know, during the period of time since Florence that they have not been able to rent the property because it's not fixed yet because the claim's not completed.
Yep.
So, you know, obviously you sit down and you gather history as it relates to how the property has been rented in the past. And that realtor as an expert would be able to put together information about the, you know, saturation of the market. Would it have been rented 100% of the time? Most likely, more mm-hmm. likely than not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what the reasonable rental value would be, you know, that kind of evidence that you're putting together, you know, once the insurance company sees that, I mean, what can they do really to refute that? But if they don't have it, they don't have to really consider it and they don't have to go gather that information. That's something that the insured needs to get. So that's another element of it. But looking at all elements of the claim and looking at what your particular policy covers and where your losses were and kind of peeling back those layers of the onion in a very calculating way in many cases reveals a significant shortfall. A lot of cases it doesn't. A lot of cases folks were taken care of reasonably mm-hmm. as it relates to the adjustment of their claim. But, you know, again, in our office, we've seen a lot of cases that were short and we were able to identify those issues and to end up with a really good result for our clients. And we have a lot that we're still working through the process.
I think there were a lot of takeaways with Florence, and one was, you know, just the amount of damage and the amount of adjusters that came into the area. It was very subjective who they were in, they were out at a particular property. So they right. may not have seen the total damage. And one of the things people talk about in hurricane preparedness is do like a video, some sort of
before and after
yep. of your property so that would help you at Harvell and Collins to say, hey, look, they had this inside the home
right.
Before. You know, the storm
right.
struck
and this was the condition.
And this is the condition
and
afterwards.
We had no evidence of water infiltration before.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is what the roof looked like and this, you know, those type of things. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we've also seen, you know, the insurance companies kind of play some games with this issue of microbial growth because a lot of policies have a limitation of $5,000 on that. So they're trying to say that a lot of the water damage this caused falls under the $5,000 cap on the microbial growth.
Was that the black mold that we heard about?
The mold situation,
yeah.
Right? But, you know, in almost every one of those cases, you're able to dissect that and show that, you know, these are things like, for example, we've got to take these walls out, not because of the microbial growth, but because of the rain that got in the envelope of the house
mm-hmm.
and got into the walls that would have required the walls to be taken down anyway. So it doesn't fall, you know, Mr. Adjuster, Mr. Carrier, Mr. Attorney for the insurance company under the $5,000 cap.
Yeah.
Because it's not as a result of microbial growth, as a result of the fact that our walls were soaked. They had to come out anyway. So it falls under this, you know, $500,000, $400,000
big difference
provision, and you limited it at $5,000. We've got a problem here.
Yeah.
We've got to deal with that. So, I mean, that's an example of one of the, you know, the interpretations. That's a very nice way to put it. The interpretations that we've seen that just was not fair to the insured. And I bet, you know, some people out there listening know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
The $5,000
sure.
cap,
sure.
Because that is something that is pretty common about every policy.
And you talk about some properties along Bogue Banks. You're not talking extreme. Those numbers you just put out there as an example aren't
right.
extreme numbers.
Not at all.
Yeah. And the clock is ticking, but you still have at least another year and a couple months to get going. But that reinforces your point, Wes, about this isn't something like just turning on a switch and getting a resolve. This takes time to, you know, work
out. Have to prove your case.
Proof the case. Yeah. Lay it out. It takes time. So
right.
now's the time to start. By contacting Harvell and Collins today.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt about that.
And you're absolutely right, Mike, on the front end. you know, it's just important that you have some videos of your property, of your interior space, you know, your electronic system. Those are so expensive now and very popular in a lot of houses. Just, you know, just take a video. You know, put some of your more expensive receipts, if you have any, in an important file. Keep that with your insurance papers. If you buy something that, you know, has got, you know, some value to it. So, you know, documentation is key, and the more you have, the more organized you are, the better you're going to be able to frame the case up for your lawyer, who will frame it up with the insurance company.
It seems like everything we talk about on this show, it's about being prepared, preparing ahead of time, and then having your documents readily available, but also secure and safe. So if you hire a firm, if you come to Harvell and Collins, you're going to get that umbrella protection, if you will, of your documents for life, for your estate and trusts. And now we're talking about,
you know, try to understand your exclusions. You know, for some people, artwork, jewelry, different expensive items in a home, you know, equipment, you know, these things are, you know, they're limitations, of course, very small limitations. And if you expect them to be covered in any kind of other way, they sometimes have to be scheduled things on an insurance policy, itemized. And so review your policies carefully.
I bet this is
understand
one,
them.
This seems to be one topic that probably comes as a surprise to some people. And this is not like we're done with Dorian, we're done with Florence, and we never have to deal with this again. Like I said, gentlemen, we're on the doorstep of the hurricane season, and this could be, we could replay this again. So now's the time to prepare and, you know, bank this conversation in your mind, because this could be your situation in a couple months.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But, you know, I hope that what folks take away from this conversation more than anything else is that, as you say, Mike, the prepare. I mean, that's important, obviously. Know what your policy says, those type things. But for those people out there who are paying their premiums, they're religiously every month paying their premiums, and then they have a loss. And then their thought process is, well, my insurance company just has to pay what they have to pay under my policy to cover these things. And they're going to do right by me because I've done right by them. That's just not the way it works.
And I think we've learned
You have to pay the premium.
Yeah.
You can't short that premium. If you short the premium, if you don't pay the full premium, you'll get a cancellation. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay the full amount. So then when the claim gets adjusted, it's so subjective, or can be subjective, as it relates to how much the carrier has to pay. They're going to, in many cases, not every case, those insurance people out there, I don't want them to hate me too much. I mean, but you know, I live and breathe this stuff, so I see the good and the bad and the ugly. They're going to, in many cases, pay as little as they have
sure.
to, especially when they have a huge event like Florence, when so many claims have to get paid.
Yeah.
But what people need to know is if with the right advice and the right direction, if they feel like they got shorted in many cases, they will be able to recover more from their insurance company. They paid for it.
And it could be a lot more.
Right.
A lot more.
Right, right.
But you got to call. We're going to take a short break here and return with our final segment with Harvell and Collins. You can check them out online, harvellandcollins.com, or call 252-726-9050. We'll be right back.
Okay, Mike.
So gentlemen, excellent conversation today.
Yep.
I learned
so
a lot.
Say I've got 20 seconds.
You got about 20 seconds, Cecil.
Say something
you can do
meaningful.
It.
This is what I say that's meaningful. You're absolutely right. It's about preparation.
Yep.
The other thing it's about is about asking the question. Call. Make an appointment mm-hmm. with your lawyer. Doesn't have to be Harvell and Collins, but make an appointment with your lawyer and ask questions.